It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. Check out their mobile experience, any car. Hey, here's something positive, right? All of us can do brakes. They got brakes for every car out there. So check them out, CarParts.com. Fired up, man. We talked to one of our brethren today, Bird.
Yeah, you know, we've got Two Guys Garage, but there's a production company, clearly, that makes the show, and they have other shows. So these are our brothers and sisters in arms, man. And we're going to have one of our guys on, one of our guys that literally has been there since day one.
He's one of the guys that when I first met, I'm like, I got to hang out with this dude because he's loud, he's crazy. He does a lot of cool, fun stuff that I like to do. So,
oh, man.
So I was like, all right, yeah, I definitely need to hang out with Mr. Matt Steele and just have some fun. It was the first time I remember at SEMA when I met that guy. And he is chaos. I loved it. It was really cool, just a cool experience. Back in the early days when I was first going to SEMA, and he does a lot of cool stuff, which you're going to find out a lot about, you know, not just the TV show, but you got to admit, Bird, something we've seen over the last few years, especially, is how unbelievably insane the truck market is in every application, every form you could imagine.
Oh yeah. High, low, big tire, off-roading, rock crawling, you name it, old school, new trucks, it doesn't matter. The truck market is going crazy again. You know, and it seems to do it, but right now, I can't remember a time when it was this, you know, blown up, this kind of crazy across the board.
Yeah, man, everybody knows or at least seen it in auctions and, you know, whether it's local auctions or big ones, the Bronco has been going for sick money for a long time, several years now, but now the Blazers are right there getting all up into Broncos, you know, breakfast, snatching up, you know, six figures, dude. It's crazy to see a Blazer go across the board at a buck 10, $115,000 and more. I'm curious to pick Matt's mind on where he thinks some of the old Ram charges are because, you know, I got dropped in my head as a kid, man. I'm a Mopar guy. I tend to, you know, like some of the old Dodge offerings and, you know, some of the old Ram Chargers and, you know, Power Wagon, stuff like that was really cool back in the day. So I imagine those aren't too far behind what we've seen with the Bronco and the Blazer.
You know, it's not so bad being a Mopar fan, you know, because eventually all the cool stuff that's not Mopar gets snatched up and eventually the Mopar stuff gets popular, right? So right. You just got to be patient.
Okay. Okay. But
you know, I love you.
Yeah. you have seen just a massive surge. You know, it started out with kind of the C10s, right? Back the 68 372s and you know, they kind of morphed into some of the square bodies and so forth. But man, what you're really seeing is this resurgence in anything old pickup. And I really like the fact that a lot of guys are finding out how to put, like, you know, diesel engines and some new powertrains and some of these old pickups because, you know, a lot of the, you know, the diesel filtration system, the emission systems, the, you know, all that stuff, the DPMF stuff that they have on there now, all that stuff is a lot of headaches and hassle for a lot of truck owners. A lot of people are finding old diesels, dropping motor trucks and bringing them back to life. So I think that's probably some of the resurgence, and obviously the LS, the Coyotes, new V8s, they make a lot of cool, you know, old school rides drivable again. So there's been a big, massive sort of shift into anything, everything old school truck. Dude, even the old Toyotas. Have you seen what an old Toyota goes for? I was at an auction the other day, and it was like, dude, it was like a mid-90 Toyota. It was crisp. Don't get me wrong. The thing was, it was flossy and glossy and all done up, but damn, that thing went for like 20 grand.
Wow.
And I was like, that's a 1994 restoration Toyota? You gotta be kidding me, man.
Wow.
I kicked him to the curb for $3,500 all day. I can't believe it.
You know, some of it you can, you know, kind of blame on the aftermarkets there with all kinds of trim parts, sheet metal parts, everything for, you know, a lot of the older trucks. But I mean, it used to be that, you know, maybe the 50s, 60s trucks, maybe even the earlier ones were super popular. But now, like you said, you know, the square bodies, and you just keep going up in age. To the newer and newer and newer stuff. It doesn't matter. I mean, even the Raptors. What's the Hemi version of the Raptor that's out right now? The trimmer? No, the
TRX.
What is it? T-Rex.
Yeah.
T-Rex. You know, like, so it doesn't matter what year, what era. They're almost all popular, you know?
Almost all popular.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can hardly name a gap in there. Yeah. You know, it used to be only certain trucks were considered cool. That's what I want.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, it's wide open. There's decades and decades of trucks that you can, you know, pick up and are considered kind of cool.
Kind of, man. They're setting the bar. So I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back, grab Matt Steele, bring him into the mess that we call the Two Guys Garage Podcast with Kevin Bird and Willie B. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. It's presented by CarParts.com. We thank you for it. You got to check out their mobile experience. Honestly, guys, man, it's a great way to get parts right to your shop door. And, you know, easy parts. Parts that a lot of people are having a tough time finding. They got brakes for every application. Check them out, CarParts.com. Fired up. We got my man Kevin Bird, my partner on Two Guys Garage. And we got the man, the myth, the legend, Matt Steele from Truck U. Matt, welcome to the podcast, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, guys. It is so cool to finally be here with you. Willie, I know that I had some scheduling conflicts just because life is crazy, you know, but thank you for going along with me on that, dude. And when you texted me earlier today, I was happy to say I am in. I'm not canceling. It's all good, brother. Happy.
Hey, man, we always got a slot for you, brother. So no worries. Glad you could make it. Glad you could make it.
Hey, I know you guys say that, but how many times can I get away with it?
Well, right? That's true. That's true.
Well, look, man, a lot to chat about, bro, because you got so much going on. I guess we should start out with one of the better stories that you have in your arsenal. How did you get on Truck U? Tell us about your audition. Tell us how you came to be Mr. the one and only Matt Steele. Why are there pictures of you all over Britain Productions? It doesn't matter if it's a bathroom closet. There's pictures of Matt Steele everywhere, y'all.
Like
everywhere.
Life size. You know, life-size cutouts of Matt Steele. Different quotes, different poses.
Dude, one day Matt Allegretti, who's our director, he texts Bruno and I on a group text, and he says, I've got this idea for this thing we want to shoot. Do either one of you have a life-size cutout of yourselves? And I texted back. I'm like, who doesn't? You know? And so I brought that, and it is now living there in the shop over there. And then my other buddy makes vinyl stickers of everything. It's kind of weird, but he's a good dude, so I hang out with him, right? But that's like his weirdness. He makes these little vinyl stickers, and so they're just everywhere. So I just bring them in and tag the things. You know? It is what it is.
I'm like, this guy's crazy famous, man. You open a medicine cabinet, open a first aid kit, I open a toolbox where the screwdrivers are, I pulled the whole thing out underneath their stickers and Matt Steele. What's up?
Just my way of being with you guys. That's all.
Yeah, it's like my wife's hair. You just find them everywhere.
Well, you know, in real life, we don't get to catch you much,
no.
Right? Typically, we get to cross paths somewhere like at SEMA or something like that, or a big event. You know, I haven't got to see in a couple of years, but that's what's so great about having you all over the shop is you're there even when you're not there.
Because the way we shoot the show, there's not a lot of opportunity for us to be in that place at the same time. We shoot one week. You all shoot another week or the following week, right? For us, we don't get to hang out with you too often, but, man, we got to flip the script the other day on the 20th anniversary of Two Guys. We got to see you as the man, you know, Matt Steele live and in person can be. He's one of a kind, y'all.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So even when, you know, we're not all there in the shop or we're not at a big event, these stickers are everywhere. Remind us of you. But like you said, man, it was great to catch up. We had our 20th anniversary on Two Guys Garage, and we had a nice big party, and damn, it wasn't cool to have you there throwing it down with us. Now, we're on 20 years. Now, you guys are on, what, going on 18 years with Truck U?
Yeah, we'll start 18 in next March or April, you know, once we figure out the dates.
And you've been there since the very beginning.
First episode, yeah, we did. On Truck U, I had a different co-host the first 2 years. And after that, after the second year, Bruno came in. So naturally, next year, we're going into season 18. Bruno refers to it as season 16. I tell him to look at the invoice. That'll tell you what season it is. You know, so.
Mic drop.
It's pretty cool, man. I'm just so happy because I remember being at SEMA going into year three, I believe it was. And I was walking around with Elaine, who kind of runs everything. We all know Elaine. She takes care of everybody, right? And I remember she was saying, hey, we got the renewal for year three. And we were excited. And she goes, you don't understand what a big deal this is. She goes, it's very rare that something like this makes it to year three. And that rings in my head every year as we go to season 15, 16, 17. I think back and I'm just like, man, I do love the gig. And you know how it is. You start working with the same people. It's comfortable. You know their families. And really, when you're only seeing people about every month and a half or 3 days at a time, it's kind of hard to get tired of one another. So it worked.
Yeah, man. It truly is kind of the mechanism. You know, you look back at so many seasons, so many builds, so many, you know, sort of as you've been in there so long, you have probably watched more of the pendulum shift in what becomes popular, what's, you know, epic failures, what's great successes, what really is trending in a lot of different styles. Have you seen trucks evolve over the number of years that you've been on that show, and to what extent in your world?
The funny thing is, that's a great question, because look, I think as hosts or guys in the business, whatever, you know, we're supposed, whatever the trend is, we're supposed to just be solidly behind it. But you know as well as I do, every now and then a trend hits and you're thinking to yourself, why is this a trend? I don't get it, you know, but you can't say it all the time. I mean, you can, but you got to watch it, right? So I've seen stuff come and go and that I love. And then other things, you're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, I use trucks. I mean, I live kind of out in the woods. I'm always splitting wood, cutting trees and all that. So it's like when everybody's taking these long bed C10s and chopping them and making them short beds, I'm the only guy in the shop going, wait a minute, but you're cutting out how much of that useful bed, you know? I like the long beds. But apparently I'm the only one in the country. But there's got to be somebody else. There's like one dude in Nebraska who likes the long bed C10.
Sure, the guy that could afford the short bed.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know?
So let me see this, though. When you see trucks, and, you know, we're going to get into what you do kind of as another side hustle. He's involved in something really, really cool, which I can't wait to kind of get in. But you have watched trucks really go from a second sort of vehicle, right, that somebody would have beside their house and pull it out when it was snowing or when they needed to, you know, move some wood, this, that, the other, to probably moving in towards more the main vehicle for a lot of people. And that for sure has led probably for you guys on the show, really cool builds, platforms, cool sort of ways to show off new, latest and greatest, old school and new school sort of trends and what's happening in the truck world.
It has, you know, I think one of the major things that happened to trucks, be it good or bad, but definitely good for trucks and good for us, is that they went from total utilitarian to a lot more comfortable, you know? And I think once you figured out that you could drive them around, you know, I've got a 2019 Tundra 6-inch lift on 35s. I absolutely love it. It gulps the gas, but it looks really cool. It's concrete gray. I can pull anything with it. It's totally utilitarian, but dude, it's still, even on the 6-inch lift and 35s, it still drives really good. And I remember some, you know, I had an old, what was it? A 78, I don't know, some, an old beater pickup truck that I had just for running around. And that thing, man, you knew you were in a truck, you know? And that was the difference, I think, with better suspension and better performance and more creature comforts on the inside as well. Because, you know, I mean, how many years ago would a housewife have said, I'm not riding in that truck and I'm certainly not driving it. And now half the trucks I see around town, like where I live, dude, there's four-door trucks, like everybody's got them, you know? And it's all like half of them, it's women driving them around. And
it's the new SUV, right? It's the new SUV. It's everything an SUV has, and you can still throw junk in the back.
Thank you. That was certainly not me being sexist or politically incorrect. I was merely saying that things have changed, and I love it. And it is the new SUV, really.
Well, and you were telling me before we got on that, you know, when women crash the trucks, they're safer in the... No, I was just kidding. I totally made that part up. Look, when you see all these changes, right, do you prefer, you know, when you walk in, because I'm sure on our show, we walk in sometimes and go, oh, we're doing that this time? All right. When you see some trucks, are there certain trucks that get you really excited? Is there a certain era? Is there a certain brand that you feel like, oh, man, I love doing these, or I love seeing these come to life?
Well, it's interesting. With me, I've always been a big truck guy. I've been more partial to tall and big tires than I am brand loyal. Right. So now some guys are like, dude, I love the, you mentioned the old Toyotas, dude, like the old Hilux Toyotas back in the day.
Yeah.
Those things. I do love those. I'm partial to those. I don't know, because you had the Mazdas too. Remember the Mazdas and the Toyotas? What was it? The Mazda, that was the Toyota that was the similar thing too, right? Back in the day.
Yeah. And the Nissan.
And all those little tiny trucks that you really don't see those anymore, like the little tiny two doors. Dude, I had a 96 Stepside Ford Ranger that I had for 18 years with a little four cylinder in it. It was awesome. Great gas mileage. I don't know why I sold it, you know.
Ford Ranger.
It is what it is. That thing.
Well, man, I mean, back in the day, though, because they're so dang utilitarian, right? I mean, especially the small trucks, they kind of drove like cars. That you were living it, man. It was like, this is awesome. I've got a car and a truck, you know? And we didn't know any better. We didn't know you could get the SUV of trucks, you know? You didn't know you could pay 75, 80 grand for a truck back then, you know? You were happy with your little, you know, $5,000 beater or whatnot.
Dude, as a teenager growing up in the southeastern United States, there was nothing better than having a little beat-up truck. It was freedom, dude. That was everything you wanted was there. The tailgate to sit out on, the bed to throw all your worldly belongings in because you didn't really have that much. It was wonderful. Life was a lot easier.
And you were the best friend of everyone you knew that was moving from apartment to apartment.
Oh, dude. It's like having a box trailer now, right? Yeah, they're like, hey, right. You got that enclosed trailer, right? I'm like, no, that's in for service. I had bad access.
Well, you know, obviously being on Truck U, that is a part that a lot of people know, but you do something else as a side hustle that is freaking amazing. So you got to let us clue us in a little bit to Trucks Gone Wild. And what you do just with all that madness, man, it's got to be a riot.
So do I have a minute or two here? Because
give us a tease, man, and we'll come back heavy on the second
half. All right, so the tease on that is I was announcing Monster Jam for 7 or 8 years, and I was one of the stadium Monster Jam announcers. I traveled all over every big stadium in this country. I've probably announced there. And we were doing all that. That led to a Monster Jam TV show on the Speed Channel, which kind of led to Truck U. But we were doing, my business partners and I, at the time they were my buddies. One had a big four-wheel drive shop, and one went to Full Sail Recording School. So between the three of us, the one guy could build everything. The other guy could do everything audio and visual. And I could write and host anything. So we were all like, why don't we just start putting, and we all love the truck events. Let's start doing these. And kind of promoting them and recording them. Nobody was doing that for Mudbogs, basically Mudbogs, right? And we were thinking, what can we do to make Mudbogs big? How can we possibly turn this into a business and make it to where it could generate enough income to pay for our travel expenses and our beer that we want to drink on the weekend when we're doing them? And that is where it all began.
Nice. Isn't it funny, man, how, you know, some of these big dreams just start out with Beer Bunny?
It's
and
amazing.
Then, you know, who knows from there? It could just, sky's the limit.
As I said, young Southern dudes with no beer money have to get creative. Trucks Gone Wild is born.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
man,
it has blown up. So when we come back, man, we're going to deep dive into all the awesomeness, all the wild and crazy, the big trucks, the muddy, the racing, the double backflips, the twerks, that you name it, that is... Trucks Gone Wild with Matt Steele.
I love it, man. It's going to be great. All right, y'all. Beer and big tires coming at you next. This is Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. We're back in just a minute. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. We're talking with Matt Steele. It's all presented by CarParts.com. We thank them for it. Check out their mobile experience. Hey, Matt, it started with beer money or the lack of. You love big tires. Pickup trucks got beds in them. Let's put all this nonsense together and make something fun. It's Trucks Gone Wild. Tell us about the first one.
So I was, at the same time I was announcing the Monster Jam shows, I was the head DJ at a big country nightclub in Orlando called 8 Seconds. And they had live bull riding, which I announced that. We did mud racing out front. I announced everything that they had, right? Just because they didn't want to pay anybody else to do it, and I was already there. So it's kind of like Truck U, because I live close to where we shoot. I'm geographically desirable. Very similar. So we're doing these little truck shows. The club shuts down, and by now, dude, we're doing shows on Saturday night that are getting 2,500, 3,000 people to the nightclub. Well, the club had to shut down for one reason or another, and we're like, what are we going to do? And we didn't even have the name Trucks Gone Wild really at that time. We're like, all right, we need to put something together. And we're like, we're going to put this on DVDs. The DVDs, remember those round, shiny things that people used to put video on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where we started out. We would promote the event. I would MC the event. We'd organize the event. We'd shoot it with cameras. And I mean, we would work the gates. We did everything at the events when we started. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. But then at the end of the year, we'd put these DVDs together, which was basically a highlight reel of everything that we did. And then forum. This was before social media, but you had forums and all that.
Right. On them and chat rooms.
Yeah. And people were buying our DVDs. And we noticed they're buying them up in Michigan and they're buying them in Texas. Next thing you know, nobody had Mudbog schedules online. And so we're really marketing stuff. And people are showing up and we're meeting these guys. And they're like, dude, we drove down from Michigan. We're like, you're crazy. Who drives down from Michigan for a Mudbog? And now, that was about 17 years ago. Fast forward now, dude. We went to Iceland and watched that crazy stuff they did. We went to Sweden, all throughout Canada. We can't get across the border still. We couldn't get across the border recently, but we do one in Saskatchewan every year. And it's been so much that, like Truck U, we were like, how long is this going to go? You know, we laugh and joke, say maybe we'll get 5 years out of it. And here we are in year 17, dude. And I couldn't be more happy. I couldn't feel more fortunate. I love it. And it's fun talking about it. So thank you guys.
So how big are some of these events getting? Like, how many people kind of show up? And then, you know, I've seen some of your videos, you know, parts and pieces of them, and you have all kinds of different things going on, like entertainment-wise. So is it pure racing through the bog? Is it pure, can I just get to the other side? You know, I've seen backflips. I mean, you're really putting on a full kind of, you know, all experience event.
The interesting thing for me is it varies according to the venue where we're at. And what I mean by that is we do a back-to-back tug of war at a nightclub where it's just trucks going back to, it's tug of war with trucks. It's wildly popular. It's
great. That's so cool.
Oh, dude, it is.
That's old school. Chain them up. That's me in high school. Chain them up.
So much fun. I love it. You know, and we're like, it used to be, it was different back in the day. We didn't have all the containment and fences. Now it's really safe. And I'm down there in the cage. It's like UFC with trucks, dude. It's crazy.
So, right.
You know, and then other ones, some of them are just Mudbog races. Some of them are big parties because you're out on 1,000 acres and there'll be bands at night. It really does vary. They're all different. And I think that's the only, I have a very short attention span and it's hard for me to stay interested. And I think the reason I was able to stay interested and stay excited about this for as long as I have is because we do 20 to 24 events a year on the weekends, and each one of them is different. If they were all the same, if it was a formula that I was rolling into town with and we were doing the same thing, same playlist every night, I'd go out of my mind, you know?
Wow. That's got to make it really cool.
Kind of creative. Yeah, you can kind of go into one place and go, man, what can I do with this venue? You know?
So when we started, the second DVD we put out, which was like 15 years ago, my buddy had this old square body or this old Ford truck, late 70s Ford. And he put on these Dooley 48-31-20 tires, right? 8 of them. And he just floated. And I had old Sea-Doo jet boat. And we put my boat next, hooked it up to his truck. And we did like a tug of war of my boat versus a floating truck. And we had hot girls jumping off the tires and all this stuff. It caught a lot of traction. And that's really what made us popular early in the days was doing stuff like that. And 2 weeks, we're doing an event down in between Okeechobee and Stuart, Florida. And we're doing another floater thing. We're going to have at least half a dozen to 8, maybe 10 trucks out there floating. And it's not high speed. It's not exciting. It's just a bunch of stuff happening. Trucks aren't supposed to float.
It's just a lot of ridiculousness. That's what we all love, right?
The dumber, the better. And that's a shot against me, not anybody else, you know?
Well, that's a good shot, though. Now, tell me,
how
did you come up with Trucks Gone Wild? I mean, that's such an original name,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's so original that we had all these names, and Girls Gone Wild was really popular at the time. And we're like, man, that sounds so good. We're like, that dude's got enough legal trouble. He'll never notice if we call our company Trucks Gone Wild, right? No. You know? And we just did that. And I remember we had a list of names, and I went to my close friends who were all into the truck stuff. And I wrote the list down on a paper and I gave it to all of them. I'm like, circle the name you like the best. And overwhelmingly, a very scientific survey of 9 to 10 people, it was overwhelmingly, it was Trucks Gone Wild. And man, thank gosh we did, because that really, that's a name that you can remember. And it's abbreviated to TGW. Yeah. You know, it lends itself to memory, which is good. We just got lucky on that.
Yeah, man, that's a home run for sure. Everybody thinks, you know, it's like the double take. What? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I got to see that too.
A bunch of trucks parked with their hoods up.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the same demographic. So, yeah, exactly. All right, man. So, past Trucks Gone Wild, tell us a couple other adventures that Mr. Matt Steele has been able to do, pull off. And, you know, as you look back, you know, I got to get in a couple bills. I want to know what truck that you miss, what truck you got rid of that you miss, because there's got to be one. And, you know, on the builds, what truck have you seen just get mopped up, you know, that wasn't supposed to? Because I'm sure there's been some crazy accidents or, you know, adventurous outtakes that never got put on the DVD. So,
oh, there's got to be carnage.
A couple cool builds.
I want some carnage. Yeah, I want some crazy moments.
You know, back in the day, I mentioned these back-to-back tug-of-wars that we used to do. So whatever happened, at some point, guys figured out that basically it doesn't matter how much money you have in your truck or how pretty it is, the heavier truck that doesn't break traction wins 100% of the time. So guys were just getting crazy, filling the beds with concrete barriers and these big water tanks off the front. And, you know, it's funny because now so many guys are running such a heavy driveline and it'll actually hold up to that. Well, 10 years ago, it was a different story. And I mean, when you pull in a truck that you've kind of built up and you've done the best that you can, but you've weighed it up to 30,000 pounds and you've got it on 4 drag slicks, wherever the weak link is, it's about to be exposed as soon as you hit forward, right? And I mean, it was just like, you'd be watching it. I'm down there next to it announcing. And there, let's say there's 2,500 people standing on the fence watching. And it's like, and then all of a sudden, and everybody, oh, and it's just like, everything just starts breaking. And we had, I swear we had the whole, like the cab of the truck just ripped off of the frame, and the coil spring shocks were bouncing around and the drive shafts were dropping. It was amazing. So that was just one time, you know, but you know, a lot of jump, a lot of crash and flips. And my favorite thing is during a race, like when you see somebody and they'll jump and they kind of go like ass over front and kind of roll and they land back on all four tires again and they just keep going. Dude, the crowd just goes crazy. It's so much fun. And realistically, the trucks are so well built now that it's, you know, they can handle most of the accidents pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you go back 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and yeah, it was stock axles jacked way up with some tires, and man, that stuff was just prime for getting shredded.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, and just normal abuse, right? But yeah, now you really throw those things, huck them into the air. You know, you do your tug of wars. I can imagine just shrapnel everywhere. But yeah, man, you know, you live and you learn. So, you know, fast forward 10 or 20 years, and I bet some of these rigs are just ungodly stout. You know, and when you see them fly through the air, I mean, these things are trucking it.
Yeah.
They've got to be built, you know, top notch.
It's fun, dude. You know, back in the days, it was just build it as big as you could, and they weren't really fast. And then what we found was that the big truck, you could have all these little tiny race trucks. We're going back 15 years, all these little tiny race trucks parked like in a parking lot. And everybody's coming in to watch the races. And over on the side, you've got this cobbled up mess, but it's gigantic. The welds are bad. It's sitting crooked. It's rusty. And there's patches on the side of the tires. But the tires are 70 inches tall. Well, every kid coming in through the gate would walk right by every race truck. And they go over to that big old turd. And they'd be like, wow. And that's when Chuck and I were like, dude, the future is in these big ass trucks, dude. That's what we're looking at, right? And so but they eventually became nice. And now, dude, I mean, people, I don't know where the money's coming from, right? Like with any other automotive thing, I'm glad it's.
I know it's from their retirement fund. That's easy.
Yeah. 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 Cash it in, right? You know?
Yeah.
Sound fun.
We won't live that long, anyways. Man. Let's just live it up now.
It's just like, boom, $200,000 truck and everything lights up and tilts and goes. It's great. So,
hey man, is there a truck that you used to own that you miss, you sold, you wish you had again? Or is there a certain truck that you wish you owned from back in the day?
I had an old Geo Tracker, and it was on 35s, not because it was lifted, but we'd actually cut the sheet, cut the metal. It was cut lift, right? And snorkel.
It had like 150-foot turn radius?
Yeah. It depends. If you
could, about tires are like rubbing into the.
If you could break the back end loose, it was a little sharper, right?
There you go.
And we snorkeled that, and so I mean, you could just drive that thing right off the end of a boat ramp and just.
Hey man, I didn't want to interrupt you about the Geo Tracker, but I jumped one of the. I got a motocross track in my backyard. I jumped one of those things like 30. Kevin's seen the video, like 30 feet one time. Dude, and that thing. It went 15 feet on the first bounce, and it landed on top of a fence. I blew the headlights, the top roof piece out. I blew that whole thing out of hell. Dude, we pulled it off the fence post, and the damn thing still ran.
Man.
Wheels are all buckled in. Like, my friends were like, you want to jump your truck? You want to jump our truck? And I'm like, you don't invite me to jump a truck, bro, because I'll huck it. And he was like, no, you can do it. And right before the video goes to slow-mo, he goes, oh, my God. Because he heard me hit the gas as hard, just mad it. And I was like, I'm going for it. But I hucked it, bro. It was awesome. I can't believe this thing stayed together.
Dude, they're tough little things. So they were fun.
Do you like rock crawling or mudding or anything like that? You know, I live in Colorado. You live in Florida, so it's different use for having fun in a truck, obviously. But do you ever get into rock crawling or hill climbing or anything like that?
As a spectator, yes. As a what's weird about all the stuff that I do? I'm not much of an adrenaline junkie myself. So everybody like always offers, Matt, come ride with me. I'm like, I'm good. I'll be over here watching, right? And people are like, oh, you're a wuss. I'm like, no, not really. I was like, I'll grab a microphone in front of 95,000 people and rock it, right? Like, everybody's always like, oh, the number one thing, people are more, they have stage fright is greater than death. And I'm always amazed at that. But the same dudes are like, don't give me a microphone in front of people. We'll go 100 miles an hour, like backwards on a motorcycle. And I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. There's room for all of us.
Well, we got to get to one of your events, man. So tell some of the people out there that haven't been to one of your Trucks Gone Wild. What are some of the key locations around the country that you think are just the top notch? Like if you're going to go to an event, go to, A, B, or C.
So there are several in Florida. There's one that we do at a place called Plant Bamboo that's in between Okeechobee and Stuart. That's in South Florida. There's another one at called Redneck Mud Park it's in Punta Gorda, Florida, down by Fort Myers. Those are big. We do a couple big ones in Georgia, which are just on, like 1,200 acres. And that's a lot of four-wheelers and side-by-sides and trail riding. And we do one in Colfax, Louisiana, called Louisiana Mud Fest. One of my favorite things, that's a big event. That's I don't know how many. That's a multi-thousand person event. Not like 20, but I'm saying, 4,000 to 6,000 people. The Louisiana people are so much fun. The food is delicious. The accents are great. And actually, we do a lot up in New England, too, strangely enough. So it's kind of all over. I mean, trucksgonewild.com will have our schedule, and you can look up and see where the events are at. And I always say that, our Facebook page is very interactive. We're on that all the time. So if you're thinking about, if you're listening to this today and you go, okay, I see where Trucks Gone Wild event is at this particular place, feel free to send a message in and just ask what it's all about. Or, some of them obviously are, there's some of them at night where if you have young kids, you may want to stay in a different section of the park. And some of them are 100% family friendly the whole time. I try to be honest with people because they are parties first and foremost.
Yeah, right on. Well, I was going to ask, are some of these day events only or night events, or are they typically, bring your gear, your tent, your camper, whatever, and make it all weekend?
Yeah, most of them, I'd say all, but the nightclub tug of war is a one night deal. That's kind of fun. I like those because we do them about an hour and 15 minutes from where I live at my buddy's country nightclub. And I sleep at my own bed at night. I'm a big fan of that because it's so rare, but most of them are start coming in Wednesday or Thursday and leave on Sunday.
Nice. Like a full on experience.
Oh, dude, when we started, nobody had campers and RVs when we started. They would just show up on Saturday and there'd be tents everywhere. It was like tent city. Now on Wednesdays, it's like bus, bus, bus. It's like, what happened? It's great.
Well, it goes along with the where'd you get that $200,000 truck? Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, camping is the new trend right now, man. Especially with COVID.
I think, dude. Yeah, and you know, we had a lot of new people at the events this year because you know, concerts they couldn't go to, movie theaters, a lot of stuff that average people did. And I mean, look, I get it. If you've never done an off-road event, whether it's a mud theme or rock crawling theme, whatever, if you've never done that, a lot of people are kind of, they don't turn their nose at it necessarily, but they're like, ah, it's not my thing. Most people would say it's not my thing have never been to one, because once you go to one, you're like, it still may not be my thing, but it's a hell of a lot of fun.
You know? Oh, yeah. I remember trying to get buddies way back, like high school, college, to go to the school bus figure eights, you know, like any of that kind of stuff. Right. Cause it's not about your thing. It's about, damn, that's some wacky stuff, man. Yeah. You know, that's some entertainment. Hey, that's an experience of a lifetime. Right.
I've never seen a figure eight race that I didn't like.
Yeah. Why? Because there's always going to be, you know, some carnage, some wild moves, some unpredictability.
I was in Indiana visiting some family a couple of years ago, and there was a TV commercial for a combine demolition derby. And I'm like, a combine demolition derby? That's the coolest thing I've ever heard of. And of course, that was the weekend after I was leaving. I almost stayed just so I could see that.
I'd have showed up for that.
I'm telling you, man. So it's been so much fun, and it is fun to look back on the highlight. I mentioned the trips across, you know, like when we went to Iceland and Sweden, we would all bring our wives. You know, that was like, because at the time you're like, hey, honey, I'm going to go to Iceland for four. And it was, you didn't even get it out. It's like, well, I'm going. It's like, okay, that's where I was going with that. You know? So it was really cool to be able to, you know, we start something that's just kind of like it's whatever. You just start it for the hell of it. And next thing you know, it actually becomes like a business, and you're traveling around doing really cool stuff, dude. It's just it's the neatest thing. So
are you just scouting over there, or were you setting up events? Do you have events going on in Iceland and Sweden and whatnot? Are you taking over Europe? Are you taking over the world?
No,
what's going on?
No, I wish. You know, maybe when I was younger, I would have thought like that. You know, now I'm just getting older. I'm just happy to be doing what I'm doing. You know, now I just want to see how long it'll go. Iceland, they have these little, like low, little paddle tire Jeep looking things. They're just all, they sit real low to the ground, and they're like cliffs of gravel, and they're super tall. And they set up an obstacle course on the side of the hill. And they go up, and they go up the gravel, down the gravel. It's just really cool. And there's nothing like that over here in the States that's done. And when we started with the DVDs, that was long before YouTube was around. I mean, YouTube came out and basically told the DVD business to beat it, right? That's when
kick rocks.
Yeah, exactly. But when we went over there to Iceland and Sweden, there was a time there for a couple of years where, as far as like a video DVD documentary series, we were the only ones in the country with Iceland footage and with the Sweden footage on it. And I'd meet a guy online. I'd be like, dude, we want to come over. They're like, are you serious? Remember when I was saying, like, I couldn't believe people came down from Michigan to come to Florida. We got the same reception in Sweden. We're like, hey, they're like, you sound like you're from the States. We're like, yeah, we flew over here to check this event out. They're like, what's wrong with you? Why would you do that?
You know? Well, you need to sell them, you know, a whole bunch of your, well, DVDs, or get them on the YouTube videos. Cause you know, give it enough time and you go over there, man, you start to see some jacked up big mudder trucks over there, perhaps, you know, start to share some of this culture back and forth.
We were in Sweden in a really small town where this event took place. And we were out one night, and we noticed all these old, like, American cars driving around. They were huge over there in Sweden. I couldn't believe all the cars we were seeing.
Yeah. I've been to Gothenburg. I spent a summer in Sweden. It's great. I love that place. Yeah, man. There's one thing I wanted to ask you. Oh, yeah. I know what it was before I get out of here. All right, man. Mopar, Dodge trucks, say mid-70s, mid-80s, the old Ram Charger. Anything there, bro? Anything there?
I hope so. I hope so, because when you were talking about this off the start, who determines the trends? Who is it? Is it like everything else in advertising, like a teenage girl?
Youth culture.
I don't know.
I mean, whoever was responsible for skinny jeans, we should just beat that person
up. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I hear
okay
you
with that. I'll serve the beatings.
Hey, can I tell you this? Here's when the opening segment, I was Googling this. This is where I want the next trend to be. Dude, I'm down with the Mopar. Love it. It's all good. Okay. I'm there. But, dude, I want to see the international travel all trend come back because I'm a big fan of those. I just think they're cool looking. Dude, I'm looking at them right now like, yeah, yeah. So.
Okay. All right. You realize, you know, you got all those DVDs out there that someday – 100 years from now, people could be digging through, you know, archaeologists digs up this crazy town and they dust off this archaic box, right? And they wiping it off and they're holding it up. They open it up and it's this crystallized, weird looking, I don't know, it looks like a coaster for their space drinks. And they find some way to play it. And there's Matt Steele with Trucks Gone Wild and, you know, a floating ski-doo in a truck with a hot chick jumping off the tire. And they're like, this is the downfall of this civilization. I just want you to know, man, I'm proud of you for that.
That right there could explain everything. Right? What more do you need to know about the human species? How it evolved right, and how it right, crashed and
right
burned.
Right here.
All in
it's
one
called
disc.
Trucks Gone Wild.
They had such an amazing civilization. What happened?
They floated trucks. All right, man. Hey, take care, man. And look, we definitely appreciate you, man. Check out our show and their show, Truck U, on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listings. Also now available on Motor Trend On Demand. Great resource to always get us. Thanks to our guest, Matt Steele of Truck U. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. Our producer's Coop and executive producer, Mr. Bob Ecker.
Yeah, don't forget to check out our website, too, twoguysgarage.com. Share your thoughts with us. We're on social everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Two Guys Garage. Now, the Two Guys Garage podcast is copyrighted 2021, Britain Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved.
I just hope one of those DVDs are in some kid's time capsule from when he was in high school and attended, you know, so that it gets dug up, you know, 50 years down the road. That'd be epic, epic.
Me too.
Dude, you're part of history, man. Just embrace it. This is wonderful.
It's great.
The legend. All right, we'll catch you on the next Two Guys Garage podcast, you guys. Take care. Two Guys Garage podcast is a production of Britain Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.